now. 97.9 FM, WCHL Championship Sports, and Seagrove's Nationwide Insurance Agency present The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee.
Renner on the play action, looking deep. Going to go to Highsmith, leaping for the touchdown. What a grab!
Join us for the next hour of our pregame coverage as Art Chansky and internet legend Bob Lee of Bob Lee Says discuss Carolina football and all the hot topics concerning college football here in town, across the ACC, and across the country.
Still on his feet at the 30. Bernard is going to score. Oh, my goodness, what a run by Gio Bernard. The wide receiver going to throw it. The Tar Heels pick it off. Trey Boston.
The Good Sports is brought to you by the Seagrove's Nationwide Insurance Agency, your one-stop insurance destination right here in the southern part of heaven. Let the Seagrove's Insurance Agency take care of you. Seagrovesinsurance.com. Now, page two of 97.9 FM's exclusive Carolina football pregame coverage.
Heels with the lead. Another handoff to Bernard. He's into the secondary. Goodbye.
The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Ron Stutz. Let me introduce you to Art Chansky and Bob Lee. The Good Sports.
Yay!
How you guys doing this week?
That's probably the most overrated introduction we could have. Are we good sports?
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah.
Ron, it's great to be with you. It's great to be in Chapel Hill on an unbelievable football Saturday. Carolina blue sky, not a cloud, 80 degrees. Keenan Stadium better be packed.
Last time we were here, it was hot. It ain't so hot today. Getting football weather now. Still a little bit warm, but we're getting there.
We'll be in the middle 80s today, I think.
It'll be fine.
Lots of sunshine, no chance of rain. Great day for Carolina football. And Art, I said this about three times already, but I love what you said about this is the first opportunity to show Coach Larry Fedora what the Carolina football experience can be like in Keenan Stadium.
Well, you know, he's heard about it. People have told him about it. Everybody talks about Carolina being the sleeping giant and so forth and so on. But he's never really experienced it for himself. You know, the first game, we had a decent crowd for the Labor Day, but it was Elon, and then it was 90 degrees. So by the time the game was over, 10,000 people were there. He went to Wake Forest for his first ACC game, and Wake Forest is kind of a sort of a glorified high school stadium, you know, BB&T Field and so forth. But you know, what he saw at Louisville last week was probably something he wants to forget in terms of the first half. But even there, the stadium wasn't completely full. Today is an opportunity for him to see what an in-state rivalry is like in Chapel Hill and what his program could be moving forward with a top 20 program that he intends to build here.
And it is a sellout today, by the way. What do you think there, buddy?
I absolutely agree. This is a perfect opportunity. All the elements that we talked about with the Elon game, being a noon game, being a non-glamorous opponent, and being Labor Day weekend, all of that is off the table now. This is a in-state rivalry. It should be a great game. It should be a big offensive game. I think someone predicted 100 passes might be thrown today. So that means, one, there's probably going to be a lot of timeouts and a lot of the game's going to last a while. But it should be a very good game. It should be a lot of excitement, a lot of rivalry emotion involved in it. And it's a beautiful day in Chapel Hill for game day.
Well, they did. You know, they gave East Carolina 4,300 tickets, and they sold 3,500 of them and returned 800, which is a surprise to me. But there are a lot of people, East Carolina fans, who don't go through legitimate ways to get tickets. They come to the stadium.
So
and
you're
they
saying
buy
there are a lot of illegitimate East Carolina fans.
Well,
there
I'm not, saying, not saying that, but you know,
you
a lot of creative East Carolina.
Creative.
Fans.
So yeah, I think that we'll see a lot of purple and gold in the stadium, and that should be the case. I think the visitors should be represented, but the Tar Heels better come out in force today and support this ball team, because what happened in the second half against Louisville, they deserve it. That was an incredible comeback against Louisville. In a situation where no one rightfully should have expected them to come back. Let me go into that game for a little bit. You know, Fedora talked about what happened at halftime. And he, I don't know if he slipped or whatever, but he did mention that he got hot, and he got hot at the coaches as well. And as you know, that college football coaches are CEOs, and they depend on their offensive and defensive coordinates to get their staffs ready for the game. And I remember Mac Brown was the classic CEO, and when something went wrong in the first half, when he in halftime he went in and he chewed out his assistant coaches, because and that to me that looked like there was something wrong with not only not maybe the game plan but the execution of the game plan. The attacking defense to me looked like it was running right by the Louisville blockers and runners, and the Louisville guys were just running to open spaces. Mm-hmm. and Bridgewater was finding them the ball. Now in the second half they made the adjustments, but I know that he didn't really chew out the team. You know, he went in, he was pretty positive with him about, you know, not playing well, but go out and play every game. I think the chewing out might have been more toward the assistant coaches, because they did change their strategy. They contained more. You know, of course, Louisville played a little bit more conservatively in the second half, but I think we contained them a little bit more, and then we got some breaks and turned the game around.
We're talking about the first and second halves. You know, we're here at Southern Season, and I love their cheese straws here. I'm going to make an offer to our audience. Everyone in our the thousands and thousands and thousands of people all over Orange County that are coming in here now for this game, if you can come by Southern Seasons and prove to me that you kept listening to this game, to the Louisville game in the second half, you didn't turn it off to sort your sock drawer or wash your car, you hung in there with the heels, I'll buy you a complimentary cheese straw.
Yeah, that's a great question. And how many Carolina fans really gave up last week and thought, no, there's no way they're going to come back from this?
I didn't. I was watching on TV. Chansky?
I watched the whole thing all the way through. But I will say this, that most fans, if there's a half like that, will not turn the half game off at half and go outside. They will at least watch to see how the second half begins.
Mm-hmm.
If it looks like they can turn the game around and the tendency is different, and that's what happened. You know, Carolina clearly was taking control of the game in the second half, and so they watched, and then things started to happen which made you want to stick with it. I would bet you that most Carolina fans stuck with the game all the way through.
I'm going to be honest with you and say that I thought at halftime that could not get any worse. You know, I might not even watch the second half, but I wanted to do exactly what you said. I wanted to see how they came out in the second half, and I thought, okay, this might be a different ball game.
Remember the last time we were in that Pizza Bowl, how bad it was. What, it 69 or something?
Yeah.
The last time John Bunning took a Carolina team into Papa John Stadium, it was two of the first half.
Right.
Both halves were like the first half.
We're on to a new game, but I do want to kiss off last week with a kudo to my partner Bob Lee here. His Bob Lee Says column is tremendous under any circumstances, but last week when he was writing for The Huddle, mm-hmm, on chapelbar.com, his Monday morning quarterback story talked about the first half and the great comeback Carolina had in the second half and the great play of Bryn Renner in the second half.
Yeah.
And his last line was probably the line of the year. After talking about Bryn Renner and how great he played, Bob Lee said, in the pantheon of Carolina quarterbacks, Bryn Renner had a better week than Matt Kupek.
I don't think there's any question about that. And nobody questioned Bryn Renner about how he got to and from the game either. So, hey, let me say.
Rim shot, here we go.
Chapelboro.com, when you go there, there's that whole great section, Huddle Up with the Heels, where it's comprehensive. I mean, you got lots of columns on there. We got photos. We got stories. We got everything on there about Tar Heel football.
You know, I love my column, because we all do, but Freddie Kiger's column this week on some water tower. Where does Kiger get this stuff? He is incredible.
He wrote about the Great Water Tower, which is a beacon for people, how they find their tailgating spot, and he wrote about how the tower ended up where it ended up. And it's, if you love history of Chapel Hill, it's phenomenal. It really is.
Really, the huddle with the heels on Chapelboro, but Kiger's column is just he's out there.
Maybe Freddie was a little off his game this week because he was celebrating his 60th birthday all week, so he was doing too much celebrating.
No, I think it was great. It was typical Freddie Kiger.
Who can write 1,000 words on the Arboretum, for heaven's sake?
Yeah, I know, it's amazing. Hey, listen, one thing we have to talk about, because it's such a big part of what happened in this community, and I include the whole Carolina community in this, Chancellor Thorpe's resignation this week. We have to address that. Bob Lee, what's your take on that?
I have supported Chancellor Thorpe from the beginning. I mentioned in our first show, he is a personal friend of mine, he and Patty. I have not always agreed with his strategy and his timing. I did agree with his firing of Butch Davis. I thought it should have been earlier, but I agreed with it. There were a lot of Carolina fans who didn't. But I have agreed, and I agree with the way this scenario is playing out. You know, he could have resigned on the spot. I'm gone. You know, here are the keys. He didn't do that. That would have left us in an interim situation with a big hole of somebody to run it until they could do a search, which takes 9 months to a year, and bring in someone. This way, he has all the powers he had. He can hire, he can fire, he can reorganize between now and June with no sort of Damocles over his head, really. And I think it's a wonderful situation, and for he and his family, their life has been a living hell over the last couple of years. And you can say, well, he played to it and whatever, but a man needs to put his family first, and I think that's what he's done, and all the outpouring of support for him, and you've got your button on. I am a heel for Holden, but I also think that he's made the right decision. I think he didn't pull a Bobby Crimmins, and you know what I'm talking about, where he flip-flops, okay, I'll stay. That would not have played well outside of the Chapel Hill campus. That would not have played well in the general public and the taxpayers. So I agree with it, and I wish he and his wife nothing but decades and decades of happiness in the chemistry classroom.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, they said about Holden that he always, whether the decision was right or wrong or mistimed or whatever, the decision was always in the best interest of the university. And the great irony of the situation is that he fired Butch Davis because he believed that the football scandal was becoming too much of a distraction for the university to move forward. Yeah. That was really his main reason, because he didn't come forth with any other information that we didn't know before. And he left for the same reason. He resigned for the same reason, because he really believed that the brouhaha that he had been in the middle of, and maybe caused to some degree, had become such a distraction for the university that he felt the best way for UNC to move forward was for him to step down and let someone take over. So I think that proves that Holden Thorpe, from the very beginning, had the best interest of the university in mind in every decision that he made.
Well, let me say, too, first of all, you already mentioned I'm wearing this Carolina blue, heels for Holden button. I'm a big fan of Holden Thorpe and Patty as well. And, I love the guy. I think he was a great choice to be chancellor in the first place. Who in the world knew that he would have to face the things he faced? And I think there's no question that whatever decision he has made about anything, he's done it in the best interests of UNC. I don't think anybody can argue with that. I mean, the guy, it's no hidden agenda. Hey, listen, coming up in our next segment here, keep listening, because this is going to be exciting. We have a great guest. Bob Lee, you want to tell everybody who we got lined up?
Some old former East Carolina coach. It's not Clarence Stasovich. It's not Ed Emery. It's the other guy. Some buddy of Chansky's, Logan or something like that. Yeah,
yes, Steve.
Let me tell you, so if Logan was here, he would whip your behind right now.
The ghost of Clarence Stasovich. We're going to teach the single wing here.
Yeah. Hey, everybody, stay with us, because Steve Logan is coming up, and we're going to talk to him during the Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. This is part of our pregame coverage on WCHL, presented by Seagrove's Nationwide Insurance Agency. I'm Ron Stutz. Southern Season. That's where we're broadcasting live at the entrance of the mall, at the end of the mall, underneath the clock. Come see us and join us as we get ready for Carolina and East Carolina coming up on WCHL.
This is Kit Ballou of Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Sammy Martin, and we're still here. The last few years have been, shall we say, a challenge, but honestly, this year has been a turnaround, not just for us, but for the real estate market in general. Don't get me wrong, this is still a tough environment for housing.
It is, but our agents really know what they're doing. They have the resources they need, they persevere, and they're not afraid to tell you the truth. Our reputation for having a long-term perspective and a dogged commitment to getting the job done keeps us ranked among the top 20 firms in the Triangle.
And among the very top in Chapel Hill. We often tell you what to do, how we do it, and why you should call us if you need a realtor. We want to introduce you to the rest of Franklin Street Realty, who you'll be hearing from in the coming months.
Go to franklinstreetrealty.com, look for houses, and check out our agents. You'll find former restaurateurs, teachers, counselors, tennis players, even a midwife. You might be surprised at who we are or were.
Franklin Street Realty at 929-7174. Why would you call anyone else?
Is your free checking account costing you money? If you are required to maintain an average balance or inconvenienced by limited transactions, you should visit Harrington Bank. When Harrington Bank says free, we mean free. Free personal checking, free business checking, no lengthy requirements. Experience true community banking, where everyone knows your name and it doesn't cost you to bank with us. To learn more, visit one of our three convenient locations in Southern Village, Farrington Road, or Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Harrington Bank. You deserve banking like this.
I'm Edward Holmes, CEO of Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. We operate 21 locations in North Carolina and are headquartered right here in Chapel Hill. You may know us for our 79-cent fountain drink, our sparkling, clean, and friendly stores, but we're just as proud of our community outreach. Earlier this year, we presented $20,000 to local schools and delivered refillable coffee mugs and gas cards to teachers and employees. At Cruisers, we believe being your locally owned convenience store means taking care of our customers, employees, and the people who make a difference in the community.
Cruisers. Good to go. Southern States Volkswagen of Durham is having the biggest sale of the year. Every model is on sale, and now is the time to buy your new Volkswagen. All 2012 Volkswagen Jettas, Tiguans, and Beetles take up to $3,000 off MSRP or get 0% for up to 72 months. With these deals, there's just one thing you ought to know. There's only one place you'll ever buy from again. Southern States Volkswagen of Durham, based on stock number W8580. Includes all rebates, 0% on approved credit.
This is Scott Maitland, proprietor of Top of the Hill Restaurant and Brewery, and now Distillery. Lots of people have been asking me when our new Topo brand vodka will be in the stores. Well, after 5.5 years, I'm happy to report we just started shipping Topo vodka to the ABC stores. With luck, Topo vodka will be at your ECU or Idaho tailgate. Top of the Hill Restaurant, Brewery, and now Distillery, the social crossroads of Chapel Hill. Cheers.
This is The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. I'm Ron Stutz, broadcasting live at Southern Season, University Mall. And this is our pregame coverage of Carolina and East Carolina. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Art Chansky.
Well, you know, with that music intro, there can only be one person on the line that's ready to come on. And it's Steve Logan, the former coach at East Carolina, former NFL Europe coach, former coach for the Tampa Bay Bucks, who's one of the... A lot of coaches transition from coaching into the media. But Steve Logan, maybe with John Gruden, are the two guys that probably do media as well or better than they did coaching. And Steve, we know you're under great demand for radio. You were on this morning in Raleigh for 2 hours. You have your own show down east. But thanks so much for joining us on this great pregame show for a game that's very near and dear to your heart, I'm sure, for a lot of reasons, the Pirates and the Tar Heels. Welcome to The Good Sports and WCHL FM in Chapel Hill.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. Usually I do a blues, you know, I'm a blues guy, but since you went country on me, I had to get something that made me want to open a beer and start crying.
Well, you always had great flexibility as a football coach, and I know you do as a music aficionado as well. How are you doing? And tell us a little bit about the tears that come to your eyes when the Pirates come into Chapel Hill, because, you know, you have a history in this game, not only of coaching it, but you're one of the reasons why they stopped playing for 20 years, because East Carolina did so well that nobody wanted to play them anymore, and then the legislature had to get involved. Tell us a little history about you and East Carolina and this game.
Well, you know, when I took the job, you know, we had great success under Bill Lewis when I was Bill's assistant coach, and obviously we had the great 11-1 season, and then they kind of screwed up and made me the head coach, and then you know, we set about trying to build a program. And I'll never forget in 1994, about the time I got some legs under the program, we had I looked on the schedule and we had 6 homecomings to play. We were that bad. Oh, you know, we were just so bad. Everybody picked us to be just awful. And so all of a sudden we were playing 5 homecomings on the road plus ours at home. And by the end of that year, we had won 4 of those 6 homecomings. And that kind of got us started in 94, 95, and 96. We were really probably the best team in the Carolinas and Virginia and South Carolina, to be honest with you, during that little stretch. And suddenly, you know, nobody wanted to play us. And just as you mentioned, the legislature finally stepped in 1996 and made them sign up to play. And I only had one chance to go over to Chapel Hill, and we lost that football game. And, of course, I've gotten over it. You can tell I've gotten over it because I remember every detail of it. We got beat because we threw a 50-yard touchdown pass, and a Conference USA official that was the referee in that game called a holding call on my left tackle, a young man by the name of Brian Rimpf, who played 8 years in the NFL. and he held another kid. He did not hold another kid that was coming around the edge named Julius Pepper. Brian Rimp kicked Julius Pepper's butt that day up and down the field, and he did not hold on that play. They called that 50-yard touchdown back, and we got beat by about 4 points. And like I say, I've gotten over it. That's why I'm drinking today.
Coach, this is Bob Lee. You and I haven't met, but I'm a big fan of yours, Coach. One, because you're the only coach I know that has actually read a book other than The Art of War, and you've actually seen a movie other than Patton. So you're one of my heroes, Coach.
Well, I appreciate that. I try to be somewhat sophisticated, even though I come across like a redneck.
Well, I got a question for you. You're talking about remembering every detail of that game. I think it was two.
You guys just cut me off. Call me back.
If you're a woman looking for prenatal care, you should know about UNC Family Medicine. They know how important your pregnancy, birth experience, and first years of your child's life are to you and to your family. And now they offer group care, social support, and parenting classes for new parents. Young families are choosing UNC Family Medicine for excellent care offered for prenatal, postpartum, well baby, and well child care. UNC Family Medicine, caring for the course of your life. For more information, visit uncfamilymedicine.org.
AT&T asks, are you that guy? That guy who not only paints his face to cheer on his team, but then paints his entire torso? Well, you don't have to be that guy to prove your fanhood. Switch to AT&T and follow your favorite team like never before. It's much better than perusing the hardware store for this season's color palette of belly paints. You have the speed to get scores, stats, and highlights fast with AT&T. Rethink possible.
Visit att.com or store for details.
Integrate, to bring together parts into a whole. At Duke Integrative Primary Care, our expert physicians, trained in the very best medicine has to offer, partner with you to combine conventional medicine and whole person care so you can live each day in the best possible health. To learn more or attend a free information session, visit DukeIntegrativeMedicine.org. Only minutes from Chapel Hill, open to all, and now accepting insurance. Duke Integrative Primary Care, transforming your health and your life.
We're back now with Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. Apologize for a technical problem there, but we hope to get Coach Logan back on the phone in just a moment. You guys are right. He's a great guest. He's a really funny guy. He probably should be doing a stand-up routine somewhere.
Come on, that homecoming question, that's an old one. Kenny Youngman came up with that one, for heaven's sake. Come on.
Take my wife.
Schedule. Yeah,
my wife.
Take my homecoming game. Please, take my homecoming game.
Well, no, Logan's tremendous. He is actually, he's one of the reasons why, this series had a hiatus for 20 years because the Pirates got so good under Bill Lewis and him that nobody wanted to play him. And you remember the legislature actually got involved.
There
was
the
state legislature has more things to worry about, but they went into session and they mandated that East Carolina play a regular schedule against the Tar Heels and the Wolfpack and then Wake Forest and Duke. But
I understand we now have Coach Logan back.
Let's go back to
Coach. I want to go back to that. I had a great question for you. Are you with us, Coach? I guess he's not there. Anyway, you guys remember that play? Art, you remember the play?
I don't remember the play. Tell me.
They had gotten the momentum. We had kicked off to them, and our guy tackles their guy on a kickoff return on the one-yard line, and he fumbles the ball through the end zone.
All right, so the coach is back with us now, I think.
Coach?
We're trying to recreate that play you were talking about.
Oh, it's a great play. Well, Coach, you with us?
I hear him.
Bring back some more bad memories. Go ahead.
But you remember the play. We tackled your guy on the one-yard line, and he has to fumble the ball through the goal, through the end zone, or else you got the ball on the one. You're going to score on the next play.
I know. You can't make that stuff up.
Coach, this past week I was with Neil McGahee this past week and reminded him of the Walter Davis play in 1974 in basketball. So I remind old coaches of their worst nightmares.
Well, the other play that happened in that game, we had Carolina stopped. It was either third or fourth down. We had them stopped on the 3 or 4 yard line, and the little old quarterback in Carolina, we had him spinning around, had him sacked, and he just throws the ball up in the air. The ball hit his tight end in the back of the helmet, went flying across to the other side of the end zone, and they caught it for a touchdown. I turned around and told one of my assistant coaches, God ain't going to let us win this one today.
Did we have Jim Knight as the official that day, Chansky?
No, we didn't. But, Steve, tell me, when you coach that game, and coaches like to say that, you know, every game is the same importance, but with your fan base frothing at the collective mouth as it was, and all that, what kind of emotion do you feel during that game and then after the heartbreak of a loss like that, having to take the team back to Greenville? What's it like to lose a game like that against a rival that's so important to your fan base?
Well, you're touching on it exactly, Art. What the deal is, you know, East Carolina, every university has a different dynamic that you operate under, but East Carolina's dynamic was simply this. Hey, Logan, go beat Memphis and beat Southern Miss and beat Houston, and, you know, that's all good. In the meantime, you've got to go win. Not we don't want you to. You've got to go beat North Carolina State or North Carolina or Wake Forest or, you know, any of these in-state opponents that we did get a chance to play. Those were huge scalps to the entire East Carolina community. And you had to get, you know, you might not win them all in any single year, but you had to get one and maybe two. But that's really what the Pirate football thing, that was the lifeblood of it. And that's just the way it is. And, you know, it was crazy because I would bring a football team, let's say, to Chapel Hill or South Carolina or one of those big scout games, and my players would invariably play really well. And they were, you know, I usually whole week keeping them under control. And in the meantime, the very next week, we'd have to go play Memphis in front of maybe eight people in an empty Liberty Bowl. And we'd go down there and get beat, you know, after beating Miami or something stupid like that. And it was just such a hard thing to get the kids to understand, you know, how they, you know, I used to tell them it's not a sprint, you know, it's a marathon through the season. And we don't need to get too high and we don't need to get too low, but it was really, really hard to manage that dynamic. And I know that every Pirate coach before me and after me is dealing with the same thing, because that mentality over there is never going to change.
Coach, you're alluding to something that's an ongoing situation, particularly with East Carolina fans and fans in Eastern North Carolina and really fans up and down the East Coast, and that's East Carolina being in a conference where you really have no natural rivals, but everybody's in a different time zone and nobody has anyone in their cul-de-sac or at their water cooler like we do here with our fans where there's a rivalry. Do you, in your role now, and you're not connected with the university at all now, do you ever see a chance for East Carolina getting into the Big East or something where they've got some natural rivals?
Well, I mean, you would think it would have already been done, and I'll be really, really harsh in my answer to your question. There's been a void and a lack of leadership in that arena, and or a lack of effective leadership. Somebody should have been able to go present the East Carolina football brand to somebody and said, hey, this needs to be in this conference, whatever conference it is, because, you know, Virginia Tech got it done. Now, they got it done through the legislature, and that's okay. There should have been a legislative move amongst the people in Raleigh to take the East Carolina football program and get it in the ACC or get it in the Big East or get it somewhere. And the fact that nobody's been able to do that is mind-blowing to me. It's ridiculous. And I've just seen failure after failure. We had opportunities, in my opinion, when I was the head coach there, because I don't know that I could have elevated that program any higher than it was in the mid-90s. We were as good a football team as there was anywhere, and nobody wanted to play us. And still, nobody, you know, we couldn't get in the Big East, and we couldn't get here, and we couldn't get there. It was just a constant no, 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 no. And I've never been able to figure it out. But all I know is that, you know, I was told to go win the games. Well, we did. And in the meantime, I would turn around and say to the leadership, hey, you go do your job now and get us in a conference. never happened.
And you sure can't blame your fans, because they turn out in Dowdy Ficklin, what, 50,000 for every night, every Texas El Paso, they'll have 50,000 fans there. That's a loyal fan base.
There's a great football culture there, and I would say it is superior to many of the football cultures in the ACC. And, you know, but they always, you know, they always come back and say, well, we don't produce any televisions. Well, that's a bunch of crap, because Virginia Tech, there's not but six televisions in Central Virginia. Nobody's got a TV in Blacksburg. Hell, they've got rabbit ears and tinfoil.
Well, you know, Steve, the truth is the proof is in the product, and whoever was responsible of presenting the East Carolina product fell asleep at the switch, because anybody who's seen a home game in Greenville, especially against a big rival, that's one of the great atmospheres in college football. We've been down there several times. Butch Davis's first year down there, we lost on a field goal at the gun. It was one of the, I mean, win or lose, that was one of the great atmospheres, and you created it. And I agree. Someone fell asleep. We're not going to name any names, and we're going to come back and ask you some more questions after the break. But we're going to leave it at that, because I think you, a blanket indictment is probably pretty appropriate at this juncture.
You're listening to The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. Coach Steve Logan is with us. I still call him Coach. And we'll be back with more in just a moment here at WCHL, broadcasting live from Southern Season at University Mall.
There's no such thing as a free lunch. We've all heard this before, but how does it relate to your bank? Harrington Bank is one of the only banks in the Triangle who truly provides free checking. Our competitors say free, but they require you to maintain a hefty balance or limit your transactions. When Harrington Bank says free, we mean free. Free personal checking, free business checking, no lengthy requirements. Stop by one of our three convenient locations in Chapel Hill to learn more. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this.
Ah, day off, nothing to do, time to relax.
Honey, here's your list of things to do today.
Ah, great.
Hey, no need to punt. Drop back and go long to Fitz Lumber and Hardware. We have always insisted on supplying the most valuable building products backed by our fast-paced, no-huddle service. Come see us in Carver at 309 North Greensboro Street, or call us at 919-942-3153. Or check us out online at fitzlumber.com to help get your game plan together. Now go on.
I'm Edward Holmes, CEO of Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. If your morning includes a stop at the coffee shop, we invite you to try our premium coffees without the wait at Cruisers. Our Chapel Hill North store is now serving lattes, mochas, and cappuccinos featuring locally roasted coffee from Larry's Beans. Get them hot or cold and add a shot of chocolate, vanilla, or caramel. Pick up a fresh baked biscuit, pastry, or muffin, and you'll be sure to start your day right. Join us for real coffee, real quick, at Cruisers in Chapel Hill North.
Cruisers, good to go.
This is Carolina Football on your flagship station for the Tar Heels, 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
All right, now we got a little blues guitar. B.B. King, Riley King. I know Coach Steve Logan knows this guy and every other blues artist in the world. Once again, Art Chansky and Bob Lee. This is The Good Sports. I'm Rod Stutz. You guys have Coach Steve Logan on the phone, and great guest today.
Steve, last week, East Carolina put it on Larry Fedora's old team, Southern Miss, and while the Tar Heels are still struggling to kind of adjust to Fedora's the Fed spread, the fast break attack, and then the attacking 4-2-5 defense. This game today, right now today, looks a little closer than probably it was expected to be before the season. What's your assessment of, especially of the Tar Heels under Fedora with a new system after three games?
Well, I was asked that by several of the listeners on my show here in Raleigh and this morning. And, you know, the Art, I'll just be real blunt again. I know that's going to shock you, but you know, I've been in the state of North Carolina since 1988, and I have watched football coach after football coach, with the exception of the two last years of Mack Brown. You know, Mack had a couple of 10-1 seasons back-to-back, and what I'm speaking to is that was the only 2 years that I saw the Carolina football team show up and play hard every game. And so, you know, last week was Larry Fedora's welcoming to UNC. And that, and I'm sure he was standing there going, what the heck just happened? It's 38-7 at halftime. I've got more talent than Louisville. And these kids didn't want to play today. And I'm sure he ripped their throats out at halftime, which I would have. And they came back and almost won the game. But, you know, once again, we're going to sit back and see if Larry Fedora can unlock that curiosity, that mystery that has always surrounded the University of North Carolina football program, which is great talent. You never know what's going to show up on game day. I've seen those guys walk out there in a stupor and sleepwalk through games that they could have won. And then, you know, if they feel interested the very next Saturday, they're liable to beat anybody in the nation. So, you know, that's my assessment once again of Carolina football. And, you know, Larry's going to have to solve that internal issue before he solves any of the external issues as far as recruiting and scheme and, you know, where to throw the ball and all that other stuff. You know, there's a heartbeat that is, it's just a mystery. It's been a mystery. You know, everybody said, when I got to Carolina, they said, oh, it's a sleeping giant. You get University of North Carolina is a sleeping giant. Well, that thing's been asleep for 20 years that I've been here. And somebody's got to wake it up. But it's not talent. It's a culture. And I don't know what the answer is.
I think Carl Snavely got that question when he brought in Choo Choo, didn't he, Art?
Yeah, maybe. You know, Steve, you've talked about the SEC, and I heard you talk about NC State's loss to Auburn. NC State's loss to Tennessee, and then Auburn turning around and losing to Clemson. And you've talked about the depth of the SEC compared to the depth of the ACC. Well, you know, in the ACC, especially at Carolina, now with the transition, Fedora's got to go with the players that he has, with the program that's not established, that's more established. If a guy's not doing the job, he's out of the game, and someone else is in the game. We may not know who that guy is, but he's been highly recruited, and he's very talented. And you know, when you've got a situation where you've taken over a program and you do have a little depth problem, I guess you got to go with who brung it, and then try and figure it out at halftime. But it sure looked like, to me, it even looked like the scheme was not being executed by the players in the first half, and Louisville was running to open spaces, and maybe they corrected a little bit of that at halftime. But it really is, it was an amazing turnaround, and amazing both good and bad that you would be that far behind and then you could come back and make a game of it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was exactly that. It was the bad news first, and then the good news is, and you got to credit, you know, if you're going to blame the head coach, you got to give the head coach credit. You know, the good news is he went in and demanded that they go out and show some character and some heartbeat. And, in fact, that happened. They almost won the game. So, you know, I think Larry probably found out, as all coaches do every year, you find more and more about your team. You find more and more out about your team each week. And, you know, I'm sure Larry is still, you know, figuring out which guy he can – you know, I just know that on any team, I would have usually 10 or 12 kids that I thought were core, you know, really the core of my team. Guys I knew I could count on in the fourth quarter. I knew that I could count on when the going got rough. And then, you know, you identify the other, on the other end of the spectrum, there's some kids that you couldn't trust any further than you could throw them because they were weak-minded and they couldn't handle the pressure. And so you got to learn how to utilize that. You know, it's your personnel, so you got to utilize it. And so, you know, I would have to massage some kids and let them play early in the game and then make sure in the fourth quarter they weren't anywhere near the football because they'd choke it up. And so I'm
Coach,
sure
related to that, Coach, and this is a story that's been – it's a couple of weeks old, and I'm sure you talked about it on your show, but if you'll give us just a couple of comments. The Alan Pinkett comment at Notre Dame a few weeks ago that every team or program needs some bad citizens. Let's hear the Steve Logan thumbnail on the you need bad citizens.
Well, I, you know, in a general sense, he's correct. All right. Now, by bad citizens, I don't think you need anybody that necessarily has to have a gun in his hand go rob the Quick Trip. But you need, let me tell you something about football. It's a really dirty, crappy sport. And you know, when you're at the bottom of the pile, if you're not trying to scratch somebody's eyes out, you're going to get your eyes scratched out. And so it's just tough. And he who hits the hardest will win most of the games. You got to really embrace that kind of culture. And, you know, I think Pinkett just, you know, he said something stupid, just like I would have said it and gotten fired. Okay? And I don't disagree with what he's saying, but I know what he meant, and so does everybody else, and all these politically correct goofballs that fell off the end of the bench, you know, turning somersaults that he said such a thing. They're as hypocritical as anybody else, because we all knew what he was saying. But you do need a tough heartbeat, and you need kids that are willing and love to fight. And, of course, the trick is to get them to fight between the white lines and not outside the white lines. I understand where he's coming from.
Yeah, if he had just said tough guys instead of bad citizens, I think everybody would have understood that. Steve, we got to let you go. You've been great with us. One last question. You coached in the NFL. You've coached at NFL Europe. I mean, you're a real student of the game of football, from the playing of it, from the coaching of it, from the officiating of it. What the heck's going on in the NFL with the replacement refs? What's your assessment of the product, how it's affected the product, and can they go on much longer, not only with replacement refs, but the reaction that the coaches now are having to where it came to the point where the NFL had to send a memo out to say knock it off to all the coaches? What's going on in the NFL?
Well, it's an amazing deal from my point of view, because as I got educated in the NFL, the dirty little secret in the NFL is if an owner of an NFL team never sold a ticket, never sold any popcorn, never sold any parking spaces, he would still be a multi-millionaire business from the television package. So the NFL is a cash cow. And for them to be arguing over $2 or $3 million, whatever it is they're arguing over with the referees, is absolutely insane. It's insane. And somebody, at some point, one of these games is going to be really have a big hiccup, and this spotlight that's on these replacement officials, if it costs one of these guys a playoff spot or a football game or cost a coach his career, I'm just telling you right now, Roger Goodell, as tough a guy as he wants to sound like he is, the owners will get together and say, you know what, you better get this fixed or you're gone. That's where that's headed.
Well, that would be a shame for what really is the best product in American sports today. Last question, what's your pick today? Can East Carolina pull this off?
The only way they're going to be able to pull it off is Carolina fumble the ball, turn the ball over, and then East Carolina. The best thing I've seen from East Carolina so far this year is their special teams. And the two games they won, the special teams basically won the game for them. So I think that East Carolina's got an advantage there, but they're going to have to get some help from UNC.
Well, John Shoup predicted 100 passes thrown at Keenan Stadium today, so at least it'll be an exciting game if he comes true. Steve, thanks so much for joining us. We follow you on the radio in Raleigh. I know they love you down east now. You must be causing quite a stir back in your old home ground, having your own radio show down there. But we appreciate you taking the time and coming and joining the good sports on CHL. And we'll see you along the way, Coach, and we'll be listening to you. Thanks again.
Okay, thanks, Art.
And it's Steve Logan, special guest on The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. I'm Ron Setz. We're broadcasting live at Southern Season University Mall. And Bob Lee, one more comment here.
I'll give you a trivia question. I'll give you the answer when we come back. What is the connection between Bubba Cunningham and Steve Logan? There is a connection between Bubba Cunningham and Steve Logan. Answer when we come back.
Things that make you go, We'll be back in just a moment. WCHL.
I'm Kevin Cohan of Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Eric White. Hey, Kev, what do you like most about living in Chapel Hill and working at Franklin Street Realty?
Well, Eric, for me, it's really about the people. Before real estate, I spent many years as the general partner of an investment firm interacting with a computer screen. Now, I really enjoy connecting with my clients and brainstorming with the great group of agents at Franklin Street Realty.
I agree. You know, I spent the first 20 years of my life in Chapel Hill, and the second 20 years spent mostly on Hilton Head Island running my marketing company, which specialized in real estate. I finally found my way back home. I love this town. So glad to be a Tar Heel again.
I know what you mean. I spent a few years overseas and in New York, but my heart never left the hill. It's great to know a place like the back of your hand, and it's really cool to be raising my family in the same great town where I grew up.
I hear you. You know, I feel like I am Chapel Hill.
And I am a true blue Tar Heel.
And we are Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else?
Really, why would you?
Southern States Volkswagen of Durham is having their biggest sale of the year. Every model is on sale, and now is the time to buy your new Volkswagen. Take up to $2,500 off the 2012 Volkswagen Passat or get 0% for up to 72 months. With these deals, there's just one thing you ought to know. There's only one place you'll ever buy a car from again. Southern States Volkswagen of Durham, based on stock number W8595. Includes all rebates, 0% on approved credit.
Essequam Wadari, to be rather than to seem. It's our state motto and a guiding principle of the new Top of the Hill Distillery, makers of Topo Vodka and Whiskey. Now, I know we aren't the first distillery around here, but we are the first legal one and the first one on Franklin Street. Besides that, we're also the first all-local, organic, from-scratch distillery in the South. We just started shipping our Topo brand vodka, so start looking for it on the shelves of the ABC store, around the ECU or Idaho game. Cheers!
This is Ruffin's third year. I think the kids finally understand exactly what he's doing. We have some knowledge because we've played them for the last couple of years. You know, you see a big improvement each year. You know, he's got them playing hard. I mean, they're gonna come into our state and they're gonna play hard no matter what.
All right, Carolina football coming up on WCHL. Carolina and East Carolina kicking it off at 3:30 in Keenan Stadium. You're listening to pregame coverage on 97.9 FM WCHL. I'm Rod Stutz along with Art Chancy and Bob Lee. And Bob Lee, I am looking forward to hearing that answer to your question you asked.
Question was, what is the connection between Bubba Cunningham and Steve Logan? And the answer is, both of them came to the state of North Carolina from the University of Tulsa. Steve Logan was an assistant at Tulsa when he came to coach with Bill Lewis, and of course Bubba came here from the University of Tulsa.
I tell you, you are the most trivial or excellent. You are the trivia expert.
Haven't even gotten into John Fazenda yet.
That actually sounds like a Freddie Kiger question there.
Oh, yeah, we just make the stuff up. No one's going to Google that. They just take my word for it because I'm that kind of guy. I sound sincere.
Listen, yeah. Bob Lee, I want to run through this with you because this is an exciting thing we have on Chapelboro. It's a new feature on the huddle, which is the football section of Chapelboro. It's a bracket like the NCAA tournament bracket, but to pick the greatest Carolina football player of all time.
This is really cool.
You can go on the bracket and you can vote now.
I have already have voted.
All right, but I'm going to run through this with you so everybody understands how we work this. We've picked 32 of the greatest offensive plays in Carolina history and 32 of the greatest defensive plays, and we've seeded those players, and you're supposed to go on the bracket, register, and then pick based on who you think are the best plays. Now, in the early rounds, you're going to go with the chalk. Like, for example, number one seeded Lawrence Taylor, number 16 seeded Steve Streeter. Who's better?
Obviously. Right. Well, I mean, again, but you don't live any criteria. So obviously you say Lawrence Taylor's better because he went on to be one of the greatest NFL players. But are we doing this based on their pro career or their career at Carolina or their career as good citizens?
Their career at Carolina.
Their career at Carolina. Right. Then probably Lawrence Taylor, although there's a whole element to the Steve Streeter being one of the greatest all-around athletes and, of course, the tragedy of what happened to him later. Yeah. Right. But Lawrence Taylor's going to win that one.
Hey, right. One thing you can say is their name would not be in here unless they were a great player.
Exactly.
Okay, so Steve Streeter was a great player, but he's probably not going to win against LT.
All right, now here's one. Eighth-seeded Andy Burchak. We put him in there because you're the only one who was old enough to remember Andy Burchak.
Oh, Andy, what a fine fellow. He was there when the Rascaler first opened. He had the first bowl of cheese at the Rascaler.
And the ninth seeded is Brian Schmitz, who's the only punter on the top 32 because he had the highest average and he was an All-ACC.
Because Chip Stone got left off.
Exactly. All right, Marcus Jones versus Rip Hawkins, a linebacker. He played in the 1958-60 era. So Marcus Jones, who are you picking? He's the fifth seed.
I picked Rip Hawkins because I like the name Rip.
All right, Bruce Carter versus Tommy Thigpen.
I went with Bruce Carter just because Tommy Thigpen left and he should have stayed.
All right, Carlton Bailey, seeded six versus defensive end Quentin Copels. No, he's 11th seeded. I went with Copels.
Well, Copels is from Kinston like I am, but I went with Carlton Bailey because I don't like Quentin Copels.
All right, third seeded Greg Ellis, defensive end, played in 1997 finish versus Denaris Searcy, the defensive back who we just know recently.
Greg Ellis, fine fella. East Wake High School, rah-rah.
All right, this is an easy one because your buddy is with Ricky Barden. Yeah, so number seven, Ricky Barden, defensive back against Tremaine Goddard, who played in 2005 through 2008. Who'd you pick?
Ricky Barden, just because of that Peach Bowl, when he blocked like five punts or something in the Peach Bowl.
I know. Now, all your buddies are going to be mad at this because we picked Dre Bly over Chris Hamburger.
Oh, with a hangman, Chris Hamburger? You got to go with Hamburger, no, for heaven's sakes. Ah, the guy's as mean as a snake.
All right. So Julius Peppers versus K. Mays.
Right. K. Mays, who went to kick the poor student outside the cat's cradle or something.
Oh, you're terrible. Yeah. Ryan Sims and Vonnie Holiday, 8 and 9 defensive tackles. I went with Ryan Sims. Who are you going with?
Yeah.
Vonnie Holiday's had a really long, productive career in the NFL, but I think you probably have to go with Ryan Sims.
What's the criteria?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Dee Hardison and Buddy Curry. Now, Buddy was a great linebacker in the late 1970s, but Dee was an All-American defensive tackle, so I went with Dee. Then we got Bracy Walker and Willie Harris. Bracy Walker's a guy who blocked.
Yeah, he's a wide.
He blocked all those.
You're right. Bracy Walker was a hero of that Peach Bowl.
Donnell Thompson and Ebenezer Ekubon.
I went with Donnell Thompson.
And Brian Simmons and Kendrick Burney. So this is the way the greatest football player bracket works. You go on Chapel Bar, you register, and each week you pick who you think are.
Like this, no, 7 versus 10. Paul Severin and Irv Holdash. There are only 4 people alive that are not buried there beside Jim Tatum and the Rocky Mountain Tick that have ever heard of Paul Severin and Irv Holdash.
But no, there were really 8.
Albert Long has never even
heard
of them.
There were really 8 players alive because both of those guys played both ways.
Jeez.
All right, so that's what. You go on the huddle on chapelbar.com. You register. You put in your email. And from week to week, you pick who is going to be the best Carolina football player of all time. Not the most popular, although that might be what the vote comes down to.
It's however you want to do
it. The best. That's on chapelbar.com on the huddle section.
All right, and that's a really cool deal. And a little bit of logistics for you here, a little housekeeping. Here's kind of the way it works. Voting in each round ends on Tuesday nights, and voting for the next round starts on Wednesday morning. So
what
that's
do you win
kind
if
of the cutoff.
What do you win if you win?
I don't know. 7 days and 6 nights with Barry Loeffler, right? Each voter gets an entry to win, or each gets what?
I thought a $10,000 shopping spree at Southern Season. Is that what you said, Leffler? $10,000 shopping $100, spree at Southern Season?
$100. You vote every week until you get to the Final Four and the Final Two, $100, or tickets to the Georgia Tech game. All right? So that's what you get. So there's a big incentive there for going on and making
How
these
about
picks.
Autographed copy of my book. All of your books, Chansky.
Back up a truck to my garage.
Yeah, second prize is 10 autographed copies of Chansky's book.
All right, well, Carolina and East Carolina coming up here. We need to take a break, and we're going to come back, and we have the two-minute drill on the way, which is always exciting and entertaining, and we'll talk more about Carolina and East Carolina. They're kicking it off at 3:30. You'll hear it right here on 97.9 FM WCHL. I'm Rod Stutz, back with more at A Southern Season in just a moment.
Are you a weekend warrior? Along with the fun of being active comes the risk of injury. This is Dr. Harry Stafford, Director of the Primary Care Sports Medicine here at UNC, as well as a UNC team physician. And for those times when your knee gets injured, your Achilles is hurt, your back goes out, or if you've got a shoulder injury, UNC Family Medicine is a great choice for fast and easy treatments. I invite you to find out more on our website, uncfamilymedicine.org.
UNC Family Medicine. Being here for weekend warriors is just one part of caring for the course of your life.
AT&T asks, are you that guy? That guy who not only paints his face to cheer on his team, but then paints his entire torso? Well, you don't have to be that guy to prove your fanhood. Switch to AT&T and follow your favorite team like never before. It's much better than perusing the hardware store for this season's color palette of belly paints. You have the speed to get scores, stats, and highlights fast with AT&T. Rethink possible.
Visit att.com or store for details.
Don't fear the Reaper. Don't fear the Pirates. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. I'm Rod Stutz in Carolina and East Carolina, and just a little over an hour from now in Keenan Stadium. And Bob Lee, what kind of a game do you think this is going to be? We're going to get your official prediction later, but what about the Tar Heels and the Pirates?
I'm looking for a lot of offense because I always look for a lot of offense, particularly on a pretty day. So I'm looking for, well, we'll give our predictions in just a few minutes. We're not doing predictions yet, are we?
No.
I look for, 100 passes, But, and of course, the big question is the Gio Bernard question, which we have about 5 minutes before game time every week. We don't have the Gio update yet, unless, Stutz, you've got that in your pocket and haven't pulled it out yet.
I do not.
Do you have that? Do you have the Gio question, Chansky?
I don't have it because
where's the Gio question?
Larry Fedora is Bill Belichickian in his approach to injury, so we won't know until he gets out there.
Belichickian.
But let me tell you this. I believe in this Carolina football team. I believe in Fedora, and I believe what happened in the second half last week will reap benefits today. And Kevin Redick, did you hear him today? He said, yeah. East Carolina. We're coming for you. We're bringing it. And I think he's
gunslinger Brent Renner is going to be
he's the spokesman for the defense. So I think today you'll see a complete game for the Tar Heels. And I hope there's a big crowd, sold-out crowd to see it because we want to show Larry Fedora what Carolina football can be. Despite what Steve Logan says, we can be something.
Isaac is Zumba, Zumba, Zumba.
Hey, I'm looking for a big game out of Sylvester Williams and the defensive line today as well to put some pressure on ECU. ECU is going to be flinging it all over the place. We'll see a lot of short passes.
I love that word, flinging it.
Yeah. We're going to see a lot of short passes. And, you know, once in a while in there, they might mix one in down the field, you know, and we got to keep avoid from getting hurt.
Like the old Sandlot, everybody go long.
Exactly. But it's going to be exciting. Hey, so we're just about ready here for the two-minute drill and then you guys' predictions. Let's get to the questions first. Two-minute drill. What are your other two games to watch this week in addition to Carolina and ECU?
I like the Vandy Georgia game because I love James Franklin. I think he has a terrific program at Vanderbilt, and I think Georgia's vulnerable, so I like that one. And I'm always interested in Notre Dame and Michigan State. Michigan, after beating Michigan State, Notre Dame has Michigan at home, and the Irish have a chance to go 4-0. And if they're 4-0, we'll let them in the ACC.
We think halfway alike. I agree on the Michigan-Notre Dame. If Notre Dame wins, then they're for real this year. They would have gone through their Michigan streak and be 3-0 or 4-0, whatever, and they will be a for real top 10, top 15 team Notre Dame will be. The other one I'm going to watch is tonight, Clemson, Florida State. Who is going to be the king of ACC in the first half? And I think Clemson, Florida State, which can Sammy Watkins and what's his name, the quarterback?
Taj Mahal.
and flying Sammy, you know. I'm going to watch that game and and then again, there's a game tonight, late tonight, 10:30, that could be interesting. Arizona, the Rich Rodriguez Wildcats against the University of Oregon Ducks in Outzen Stadium.
Will you be up still up for that one?
Oh, no, I'll DVR it and watch it in the morning.
Well, Steve Logan is a big Taj Boyd fan. No, I'm sorry, that's Taj Mahal. Going into week four here, we are still early in the season. Who, in your estimation, will be the ACC Coach of the Year?
Paul Johnson.
The winner of tonight's game between Clemson and Florida State, Jimbo or Dabo?
Got to be one of the O's.
Jimbo or Dabo?
We've never had a coach of the year named Dabo, have we?
No.
I don't think we've ever had anybody else in the history of the world named Dabo.
I'm still going to hold Paul Johnson.
All right, let's jump into the NFL. Seattle Seahawks play this Monday night. Russell Wilson, when he is introduced, which college will he claim?
I think he's going to pick his Richmond High School.
That's what I say. Collegiate school in Richmond will be. He'll go on there because he won't want to make the Badgers or the Wolfpack happy. Can you see something going on between the Badgers and the Wolfpack?
Oh, Lord. Between Madison and the Brickyard, both sides would just explode if he names the other. So I'd say Collegiate High School in Richmond.
What I think he's going to do is name North Carolina State and Wisconsin.
All right, now here's my last one. Let's throw it in here. We know that Clarence Stastavich did not bring his Tar Heels to his Pirates to Chapel Hill for the first game. Name the ECU coach who brought the Pirates to Chapel Hill for the first time.
Big Ed Emery.
Sonny Randall?
Nope.
Pat Dye.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Pat Dye, one of those two-year pass-through coaches that East Carolina had a dozen of.
And one more little tidbit to throw in there. Did you know that I once did the PA announcing for East Carolina football one season?
That's sure
a
long
time ago. You also did the PA announcing for Phil Ford at Rocky Mountain.
That's exactly right. Prediction for the game today, Carolina and East Carolina, Bob Lee.
38-24, Tar Heels, Zigazumba.
All right, Archansky.
Tar Heels by 21, three touchdowns.
Whoa, some pretty optimistic picks here. I'm picking Carolina to win too. And everybody enjoy the game. It's a beautiful Carolina blue day. Thank you, Bob Lee.
Thank you, Ron Studd.
Read him on Bob Lee Says and on chapelbrew.com. Art Chansky, WCHL Everyday Sports Notebook on WCHL, and his column on chapelbrew.com. Thank you very much, Art.
Ron, it's an honor and a pleasure. Uh-oh. Play some blues on the way out of here.
Oh, yeah. Hey. Carolina and East Carolina coming up. Pirates and the Tar Heels. You'll hear it right here on WCHL. We're going to join the Tar Heel Sports Network on your flagship station for Carolina football in Chapel Hill. This is 97.9 FM WCHL.